was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 484.
Wow, that was exciting.
I've had a day. Sucky day. Sucky week. Sucky year. Okay. I'm Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Mike.
Marley.
We had a sucky week, yeah.
Brandon.
Marley had the true sucky week.
So, Marley on Thanksgiving got attacked by a couple dogs in her own house, and we spent the night in the doggy ER getting her stitches, so that was awesome. Marvel did a fun trick this week where they shipped us books but didn't send us an invoice to actually be able to import into the computer to download and check in the books. And then claimed computer problems, and I finally got it around 6:30 tonight, but it didn't have all the books on it. So just some little ones like Amazing Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, Venom. So can't sell these until we get the actual invoice. And at this point, I don't know when. So, today was great, selling no Marvel all day long. Having to explain to people over and over again why I can't. So, probably going to end up going back just to cash register and saying, screw it.
But we're here.
You're here, and I appreciate you guys showing up. So, any news? I don't remember seeing any news. It was Thanksgiving. Nothing was going on.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing anything either.
Although San Diego Comic-Con went on last weekend, which I don't understand at all.
Say this again?
Yeah.
San Diego Comic-Con was over Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah.
A live event in person?
Yes. And I guess C2E2 is next week. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I believe that because they're doing live events now, but I mean, who the hell is going to over Thanksgiving? Like, if I'm an artist, like, the nerds I get. That part I understand, but artists, they're not going to come for that. Marvel or, you know, Marvel Studios and Warner Bros., they're not going for that.
That's very bizarre. One piece of news I saw, and I don't know if any of you older fellows are familiar with this, but Garth Ennis is doing a Hawk and Slayer, or Hawk the Slayer, something like that. It's from a movie from the 80s that I've never heard of.
What's never heard movie? Of
that. I think it's the same name.
I've never heard of it.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was like, this is like a miniseries. It's like continuing the adventures. And I don't know if it was like a British thing, and I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
But.
He had, Garth Ennis didn't have anything to do with the movie, though.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think he just saw it and liked it. So he's doing like a comic book continuation of it.
Yeah, it's called Hawk the Slayer.
Hawk the Slayer. Is there a year?
New project at the legendary 2000 AD.
Oh, okay. So it is a British.
So
you said all you older guys, but what you forgot to say was all you British older guys.
Yeah.
You know, Lord Thistlewick.
Good night, Mike.
No, not Australian, British.
Oh, that's shit. Sorry. I'll ask my chimney sweep.
Yeah.
Sorry for the cuss word. Ding. There's my nickel.
There you go. Okay. So we do have a question from Zach. Now, I hadn't heard about this. But it says, if IDW ends up losing the Hasbro licenses by mid-2022, as the rumors say, do you think they'll go to Boom since they already hold the license for Power Rangers, another Hasbro property? Or do you think Hasbro will pull all licenses, period, and go to a different publisher? That I have. I'm sure they're going to go wherever they're paid the most.
Is.
Yeah. You'd think Boom would, so that they could have fun, you know, Transformers, Power Rangers crossovers or something, but... Who knows? It's looking weird for IDW because Dark Horse just got all the kid book stuff that they were doing. So I'm not sure what IDW.
Kid book stuff
the Marvel Action and the Star Wars animated and stuff.
Disney's
or not animated, Adventures.
Adventures.
Yeah.
And that was with IDW?
Yeah. That was all with IDW, yeah.
Yeah, even though they own a publishing...
Yeah.
They don't publish their own kids' comics, so let someone else do that. Because you can't play these things, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Man. That's just mad. So, what does IDW actually have left?
Turtles? I mean, they have... Yeah, they have Turtles.
My Little Pony.
Yeah.
No, that's Hasbro.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Is there a current Ghostbusters?
But there's not a current Ghostbusters. Okay. They've done Godzilla in the past. They have some original stuff like Lock and Key. Star Trek.
At one point?
They have the Star Trek license. But yeah, who knows? It just ebbs and flows so much. Yeah, where it looked like Dark Horse was dwindling away. Now they're coming back a little. So.
That's weird that Dark Horse has kid books.
But overall, I'm going to say... Too. Yeah, they're just gonna follow the money.
Kids.
Yeah, but like, they just put stuff out.
Yeah, Dark Horse is all over the place with stuff. But so,
the only reason I can see them getting all of the Hasbro stuff is because they did so well with Power Rangers. Like, that's a popular series. But I feel like Boom hasn't done any better with the Magic the Gathering stuff. Like, I don't think that's a viable comic book brand.
Is G.I. Joe Hasbro, too?
Yes.
Okay.
But just because they did well with one doesn't mean they'll do well with another. Because they had the Power Rangers license, they concentrated on that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they get G.I. Joe and Transformers and My Little Pony and all that, now their effort's going to be split. They're not going to ramp up four times the effort.
Well, they just announced another G.I. Joe series that's a direct continuation of the cartoon.
Hmm.
I can't remember what it was called. It's like G.I. Joe Adventures or something like that.
No,
it's
about that.
The first arc is they're going to be searching for Aladdin's lamp. So it's very, very cartoony. But...
I remember searching for, like, the remains of Napoleon and all that when they made Serpentor, but I don't remember them searching for Aladdin's lamp.
Right, what would it be, like, season 6 of the TV series? But that's the kind of stuff that they did in the show.
They'd do something stupid.
Yeah, something, you know.
I just hope, like, at the end of every issue, they got, like, a brief... Something happens, and now you know, shipwreck shows up and tells you not to eat or not to swim until you waited an hour after you eat, and something like that. Or barbecue comes in, talks about pork chop sandwiches, things like that.
There's half the battle.
That's right.
Yeah.
That just seems really odd, though.
I actually would like to see the G.I. Joe stuff go to Boom or somebody else, just because I feel like that series has been going on for so long. And I read quite a bit of it, but like at this point, like it's not super like new reader friendly. Like I don't think anybody's gonna go, because what are they on, like 180 or something? Like they,
yeah, it's a continuation of the Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Marvel
really?
Series, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how many. I forget how many issues the Marvel.
Yeah, it's by Larry Hama.
Yeah,
it's like.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, they've done other series where they did, like, the origin stuff and, like, the little side books specifically on one character. So they've done a few different things.
But my big fear with G.I. Joe is they'd reboot it and then put it in, like, the movie universe.
Okay. Nah.
The failed.
I would say the movie universe was not popular, so I don't know if they'd do that. The cartoon was popular. Let's stick with that. Mike, no comments on this?
I don't read G.I. Joe.
I don't either, but I was a big G.I. Joe fan when I was a kid.
I had the 12 inches with the Kung Fu grip.
I remember that first, when the first G.I. Joe cartoon miniseries came out, like after, it was like 5 episodes.
The Mass Device.
Friday, and man, you raced home after school.
Yep.
I watched them sporadically, but I was like, I wasn't tuned into them like all the time or anything.
That's when I started buying comics too, like when,
around
that time when G.I. Joe number one came out from Marvel. 82, or I think it was 82.
Did anybody see the He-Man, the second part of the He-Man show on Netflix?
No. I watched like the first three episodes of the first series, and I just wasn't feeling it. Does it get better?
I don't know how to respond without cursing live on the air, but you're nuts, because that show was really good. It captured the spirit, but moved the story forward.
Oh, yeah.
Is this the Kevin Smith one?
Yes.
Okay.
And it wasn't Kevin Smithy. Like, he wasn't trying to be cute. He was playing it straight.
Okay.
Now, you know, he hired Mark Hamill, and he's worked with Mark Hamill. And I think strike me down for saying this. Mark Hamill is probably the weakest character, because he was very much, it was almost a parody of his Joker with Skeletor. But like Lena Headey was Evil-Lyn, stole the show.
She Who's was He-Man, do you know?
Chris Wood.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, but the whole cast was really good.
How many episodes?
I want to say there was either five or six in the first half, and then the second half came out Thanksgiving, and it was another five.
Okay.
Okay. I'll have to go finish that then.
It really was good. You know, you get more backstory on Evil-Lyn. You get you learn why her and Skeletor are together. The one, and I get, because it was only five episodes, it's hard, but like, you didn't get a lot of the side characters. Manny Faces wasn't there. There wasn't a lot of Trapjaw or Triclops. There was some Beastman, but like, a lot of those characters were not there. You walked right
in. I walked in having no idea what you're even remotely what you're talking about.
It looked like it was the classic animation style, too.
Similar. I mean, it's updated. It's almost like there was a series that came out in 2002, and it's almost like a hybrid of the original. The storyline stays off the original, but it's like a hybrid of that animation style and a 2002 animation style. So it's pretty good. So, anybody read anything?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any questions?
I just
read it. Yeah. It was that IDW.
Oh, that was the only question?
One. Yep, that was the only question.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I hear you. As Rose, I didn't print the invoices, so. But nothing's coming next week anyway. Or it might come. Who knows? We don't know. Could be. Maybe. But.
Colin, the world can stop spinning on its axis. You never know. Could spin backwards.
Cool.
Yellowstone could go.
Nice.
A meteor. Aliens. Space. Zombies.
There we go. Mike.
Hi.
Did you read anything?
I read two. Did I remember? That's the key. I read Hellboy, but I read it like a week ago, and I read Usagi a week ago. They were really good, but I don't remember. I'll start with Robin number 8. So this is continuation of the battle on the Lazarus Pit Island. So it's Robin and Connor Hawke for the final two. And basically, Connor Hawke kills Damien again, so he's down to one more life. And then he challenges him again and says, well, if you die, you die for real. And then they kind of go at it again, but nobody dies. And then the giant monster comes out of the Lazarus pit. And Connor Hawke says, this is what I've been training for the whole time anyways, to go against the demon in the pit. And then the very last page, you see the demon swing right through Connor Hawke's chest. So I assume he's dead. So this is issue 8. So I'm assuming it's going to go on for another issue or two.
It's been really. I thought
it's ongoing. So yeah.
Is it 12?
I thought it was.
Is it all the same story though?
That's what I assumed. Okay. It was like a 12 issue story.
Okay. I liked it. It's still good. I wasn't expecting the end of Connor Hawke getting dead again, but it was cool. The other one I'll talk about is Flash 776. Unfortunately, Spencer's not here, but this is one of the coolest books I think I've read in a long time, just by what they did. So, the end of Flash 775, Dr. Fate shows up, and he says, I need your help. And he takes him into this place called the In-Between, It's a two-dimensional universe filled with like evil and all this other stuff. And he keeps asking the reader, he literally, they break the fourth wall, I need you to take the book and turn it counterclockwise once. And they would change the panels once, and it would go back. And then he would do it again. He said, reader, I really need you. And he's telling the Flash, like, he's like, who are you talking to? It's like, the reader. That's the reader, you understand? Mm. And he kept flipping it, going upside down. There was landscape ones and stuff like that. And he just kept going back and forth. And the story is really cool. I love Dr. Fate, so the fact that he was in there was really cool. And the very end, they kind of, like, go through this portal, and kaboom, there's Justice League Dark at the end. So the next issue is going to be with the Justice League Dark. But it was really neat. If you get a chance, go look at the issue, and you can see, like, all the turns and stuff like that. So that's all I have, Colin.
Cool. Dave, we'll go this way.
Oh, we'll switch it up.
Oh, man.
I know. Man.
Was Dave ready?
I don't know. We'll find out.
He's born ready.
I was going to say he was born ready.
Okay.
I'm ready because I think I'm going to... I'll try not... There's one. I'm going to try not to have a rant on it.
Oh. A Dave rant.
We need a Dave rant. Come
on,
dude.
We could use a Dave rant.
Well, let's...
I think it's going to be a lot like when Ned Flanders gets mad, though.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with Hulk.
I read that.
Number one. The new volume of The Hulk by Donny Cates and Ryan Ottley. Yeah, like we were talking before the podcast, I was trying to figure out like what I should be confused about and what I was just
not supposed to know.
Yeah. But the Hulk, the premise of this Hulk is split into, like, as Doctor Strange explains in this, in three separate entities. Well, it starts with the question, what if the Hulk is supposed to protect us from Banner?
Which is a stupid premise, but okay.
Yeah. So, the Hulk, he's outfitted with tech from AIM, Advanced Idea Mechanics. And he's being piloted by Bruce Banner, who's in a chair somewhere. And he also has...
And I thought that he was, like, inside the Hulk. Like, he is...
I never got that impression. I just thought he was, like, in a red room controlling
yeah.
him.
Yeah, but that's, like, I almost, like, it's, the way I conceptualized it was, like, this is the...
That makes
his,
sense.
Like, psychic presence is made out of, like,
well, is a
red,
storyteller,
and it's red because
he's a storyteller
angry.
And a writer, they didn't convey that well. And as an artist, they did not convey that well either. So that's their fault.
Yeah, that makes sense, now that you say it, but I didn't get that.
I thought he was just, like, in a red room somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the only thing
I
could figure out.
Thinking.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But in the, it's very metaphorical. And then also have the Hulk's rage was... contained, compartmentalized, so he can control that of when the Hulk gets mad.
Did he say something like he broke his brain into three parts or something?
Doctor Strange, because the Doctor Strange, the Avengers, and Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four are meeting to figure out this new thing going on with the Hulk.
Yeah.
Some of the splash pages that Ryan Ottley did were awesome, but then there's a couple where he's doing John Romita for me, Jr., where he's drawing women with, like, very blocky, chunky faces. And I'm like, wasn't too fond of that. I might get issue two. I don't know.
I feel like this is just a really terrible setup to get him, like, into space so Donny Cates can... do...
That was Mike, just so everybody listening understands.
I have a text message... Sorry.
But, like, Donny Cates is known for the cosmic Marvel stuff, and I think he's just trying to go, how do I get the Hulk from the Immortal Hulk psychological horror stuff into space where I can make him do more comic.
And if you look at
stuff.
The previews, he's going into space.
Yeah. Well, they even refer to him as Spaceship Hulk. Like the Hulk himself is going to be the spaceship that's another reason why I thought Banner was, like, just inside him, you know, as a psychological
that makes
entity.
Total sense.
It's because, like, we're gonna use the Hulk as a rocket ship, which is why he has his silly Cyclops helmet on.
Yeah. at the end of this, he steals Tony Stark's arc and goes into a wormhole. So,
yeah,
see where he ends up.
Are you gonna get two?
I'll get two. Yeah.
Are you gonna get two?
I'll get two, but like, will I get like three or six? Like, I don't know. It's like, because like, Donny Cates has done really good stuff, but like, rarely has he like stumbled out of the blocks. So
yeah,
and the other thing is I love Ryan Otley art.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like the Avengers, I read that longer than I normally would have for like the Ed McGuinness art, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I love Otley's art too, but there's some stuff in there I just wasn't a fan of.
X-Men.
I read that. I felt, reading this, I felt like I missed an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had that feeling for me.
Yeah, because the last one was Gene against Nightmare, so.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the Polaris issue, where it starts with a flashback to the Hellfire Gala, when all the X-Men are making their case for being a member of the new team, and Polaris was thinking, not just me,
mm-hmm.
but Jean Grey changes it in her mind to pick me, just pick me.
Which makes no sense to me, because right, they have, right? Like, all the mutants are supposed to be in, like, a psychological, or like a, what's the word I'm looking for? A,
bubble?
Psycho, they're like in, yeah, they're like connected mentally for this vote. Like,
so
how is she at the speed of thought manipulating like that? That just seemed
maybe someone
silly
else
to me.
Would have noted.
Some people think slower than others.
Yeah.
So we get to see some of Polaris. She's having, you know, issues with her. What's the word? Her confidence.
Yeah.
So we see some of her adventures with the team, you know, stopping a nuclear meltdown and hurling it into the sun with the help of Rogue and these high evolutionaries, monsters in Central Park. Then we get to the end, which is interesting. The X-Men have this little event at their treehouse, New York City, to share Krakoa's bounty with the public and giving away food and clothes to the needy. And Ben Urich comes by and basically tells Cyclops, I know what you're up to with this resurrection thing.
Yeah, just the more I read X-Men, the X-Men are coming across as the bad guys in all their books. And it's really hard to root for them at this point.
And so he gives Cyclops some time, whether he wants to comment or not for the paper.
Yeah, so they'll just kill Urich.
Jean Grey can change his mind or something.
Yeah.
My rant is on Joy Bendis's new one.
I read that.
Operations One.
Yeah. You only spent about 2/3 of the book not knowing what was going. Not
this is on this
realizing this something.
This was awful. I'll just say it was awful.
It borrowed a lot from Lazarus, the Greg Rucka book, where people have new like factions controlling things. But you start off, you're following this girl, and there's somebody talking in her ear, and she's supposed to do something to somebody, but it turns out it's her boss. But she's also super excited to meet her boss. That was weird.
90% of the book takes place in her head.
Right.
It just makes it boring reading.
And then she gets attacked by something, this really bizarre monster.
Yeah, it's like
finally beats. And then after that, she starts getting talked to by this voice in her head, which 10 pages later is revealed to be another person like her who's an envoy. ENVOY. Really weird spelling, if you want to even say that. But who's trying to stop her boss, who's using all this questionable science and technology, like the thing that attacked her. It was really weird, but it was mostly panels of her face as she's listening to somebody talking inside her head.
So a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, and a lot, and then it also had a thing that I hate, where let's say there's six panels on each page. You don't know, do you read across? Do you read down? Yeah. You're trying to read and figure out, because there were a couple books like that. What was the other one? Oh, Hawkeye was like that too. There was a two-panel spread where I couldn't figure out how I was supposed to read it. Because in Hawkeye, not to skip ahead. Oh, I didn't even write that one down. She was talking with her sister in the present, and then flashing back to in the past. So they're changing outfits, but it's on both pages, and it was just, I could not figure out how I was supposed to read it. It's like, that's a storytelling failure if I don't know how I'm supposed to read this. But yeah, it had that at one point, and again, it's just head. You're looking at her head, and she's making different faces, and that's the entire book, is her making different faces.
And there's an F word on every page.
Yeah.
I don't mind swearing. In books, I mean, that's fine, whatever. But this was so gratuitous.
Yeah, it was almost like, I have a chance to write, you know, whatever I want now.
I can't swear in Superman comics, so I'm going to bring all the F words over here. Ugh.
And this was Dark Horse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is his first. It just, nothing really happened. You're still not sure what's going on.
What's it called?
Joy Operations.
Do you have any left?
Yeah.
I have to see this.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
He's all about the F words.
No, not the F word. It's just
Mike's never heard that word before. We're said it on this podcast multiple times.
Hey.
Okay. What else?
I'll mention real quick. I read the Star Wars for the holidays. I read the Star Wars Life Day special.
Okay.
Which wasn't that great, but it was compared to Joy Operations. It was a masterpiece.
Was it better than the holiday special? That's the bar.
Yeah, it was better. But they do mention Chewbacca, the names of Chewbacca's wife and kid in here, but it's not Lumpy. They gave him another name.
Well, but Lumpy was like his nickname. That wasn't his actual name, I think.
Okay.
Because it was like Lumpy and Itchy and something. But
okay, I forgot about that. Okay. It's just an anthology. There's some different stories, but they could have. There's a story about that is with the High Republic. Years and years ago, and then there's another one with some aliens using the Wookiees have the Sarlacc pit that they're using to manufacture medicine, and these Trandoshans take it over to make chemical weapons. Those stories could have tied together a little bit better. But the interesting thing is there's like a framing sequence of Han and Chewbacca go to Batuu for Life Day.
Okay.
But the interesting is it takes place between. It takes place between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. And Han has lost the Millennium Falcon. This is like the first story I can remember that takes place with Han and Chewbacca that takes place between those two movies. But they don't explain how he lost the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of stuff based in that era going forward. Because I don't think they want to do anything with those... Force Awakens characters.
Yeah.
I think they're just kind of like, well, that didn't work.
Yeah, it's certainly possible.
Jar Jar holiday special.
There are not enough word panels in this book. Oh my lord.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's okay. I'm all done. That's all I got. All
right. Well, I read Good Boy.
Oh, yeah, I read that. I read that as a PDF a while back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Christy Blanche, who wrote it, is a huge John Wick fan, so this is her her John Wick.
Is this your friend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the artist?
I don't know.
Because the art was... I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
It's a very cartoony...
Off the top of my head.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
style, it fit really well. I really like that, the art. It is very much... like John Wick, like she takes all like most of the same elements.
Yeah, it's basically John Wick, but what if the dog survived and dog was a talking dog and
right
was seeking revenge?
Yeah, but there's also like dog villains as well.
Yeah.
There's bad dogs. So, but there's still like, there's like a lot of the, she calls them different names and things like that. Talking about like the coins represent favors and things like that, which is like, that stuff's in John Wick, but it's not like explained quite the same way as she did it. So it does, it's, you know, it's a little there. There's only 3 issues, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll probably pick up the next 2. It's just a fun book.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected. I thought I was going to be dumb, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I think the art helped a lot with that. If the art wasn't quality, I think it would have come across as just dumb, but yeah. I also read The House of Slaughter number 2.
La 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 la.
Oh.
You can talk about it, just don't give away the ending.
So
Sergeant Slaughter joins a wrestling group.
Sorry. Yeah, it was that page.
Yeah.
Just not sure up and down, across.
Yeah, okay. I could
one
see.
Arrow would work wonders.
Usually he lets the panel.
Well, I could go based on the facial expression. No, I can't.
Yeah, the panel.
But yeah, it's literally 12 pictures of her face having a conversation in her head.
No.
Sorry. I'll stop.
So, how do I not spoil this book? So, we see there's a little more relationship building between the two male characters. I can't remember their names. The ones who are roommates.
Yeah.
Their relationship grows a little bit. And then we see the ritual where the characters, they all take the last name Slaughter, right? We see the ritual where that is, how that happens. And it has to do with their, like, their totems that they carry around. And
his name's Jace.
Yeah, he goes from, like, Jace Burrows to become Jace Slaughter.
Yeah.
And we see that ritual, which is pretty cool. Yeah. The only thing I'd say about this book, like, I love, the art is good. It's not as good as the main book. It's a little dark. Like, it doesn't, like, like hard to see what's going on.
There's a lot of thick inking going on.
Yeah. So, you know, it fits the book because it's a horror book, but I don't know.
Did this seem like extra thick to you? Because I picked it up. I was like, "Well, this is really."
Somebody
thick.
Had the cardstock cover.
Yeah, I think it just had a nice cover.
Okay.
But no, it's not. Story wise, it didn't seem long or anything like that. But yeah, that's it for me that we haven't already talked about.
We're going to get out of here early because I only talked about 2. Moths. Can I read that? Okay. So this was the last issue of the first season. So the whole premise is once their powers emerge, they live for 6 months and then apparently they die. Well, this was the last month and she spent most of the month just chilling, and then she, her power is she's like an empath. She can make people feel whatever she wants them to feel. And so she has her month with her boyfriend and whatever, and then she's gonna put on one last show, whatever. Demonstration of her powers is really what it is. So she does it, and, you know, at the very end, she bursts into light, and then everybody thinks she's dead. Well, then we find out, you know, matter cannot be destroyed. It can be transferred, but it can't be created or destroyed. So you're just waiting for whatever comes next. So it's clear they're going to make a second series of it, probably exploring what they become after, their matter transference, for a lack of a better term for it. But it was a pretty good series. I don't necessarily know where it ties in with AWA's universe, because there's hints that it belongs with the Resistance, but there's hints that it might be separate.
Who wrote it?
When the Straczynski,
yeah.
Oh, it is Straczynski, yeah. Okay.
And the other one I read was Moonshine, and this was the last issue of that.
Yeah.
Give away the ending.
Yeah, please
give it away.
The ending.
Okay.
I'm reading it in trade, so.
All I will say, it definitively ends.
Okay.
They actually do give it.
Do you like the ending?
Kinda. I thought it was an appropriate ending,
okay. But
it was. It's not an uplifting ending.
Okay.
Like, it's not a happy ending, but it's an appropriate ending.
Okay.
So.
Did you enjoy the series overall?
I did. Yeah.
I enjoyed almost all of it. It kind of lost me when it took a little hiatus for a while.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think the hiatus hurt it.
Yeah.
But
overall,
it was a fun series.
I almost feel like I want to go back and reread it. And it was like, what, 28? You said it was 28 issues?
I thought it was 30. Maybe it was 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I love them together. That team's really good.
Yeah, it really was a good book. And you know, they're very clear. This was it.
It's done.
Yeah,
okay.
It's done. So, okay. That's what I read. So, Colin, what did you read that's left? We know you had the book of the month, or the book of the week.
Yeah, sorry. I had ordered something over the weekend, and I just got a refund of $8. I was trying to figure out why.
Huh.
So, Death of Doctor Strange number 3. This has been interesting. Basically, Doctor Strange was killed, but he had put a week of his life, aside.
Like, in storage or something?
Right.
Yeah.
And so now, younger Doctor Strange, who doesn't know the Avengers, doesn't know Clea, doesn't know any of this, is showing up trying to figure out who did it. So he's conducting an autopsy on himself. And whoever murdered him took his hands and his soul. So they're trying to figure out who did it. At the same time, these three extra-dimensional creatures who feed on magic have appeared. And all of his enemies have come to Earth. Doctor Strange's enemies have come to Earth to hide from these people. They're not attacking Earth, but they've shown up. And then there's also this baby that's supposed to feed on magic. So Doctor Strange is trying to figure out where his stuff is, the Cloak of Levitation, the Eye of Agamotto, and tracked it down to Baron Mordo. So they go to Mordo's, and it's a very confusing thing where the Avengers are fighting these three creatures, and he's confronting Mordo, and you can't tell if it's going on at the same time or if it's separate. It's like the page is split, and they're both going on at the same time. It was very confusing. So I'm not sure exactly how it ended. I just remember getting to the end going, what? And I don't have time to go back and reread all this. DC versus Vampires. Oh, is this good?
This is 2, right?
This is 2. Oh, very, very, very good. Continuing on, figuring out that the villains are kind of the vampires trying to infiltrate the villains and are killing the villains. So Green Arrow shows up to try to weed them out, and because one group of B, C list villains is a vampire, so he takes that one out and kind of warns the others that, you know, this is happening. And then they're worried about them. Batman has all of the Robins over and meets in a sunroom and has them all drink tea, or in case of Damian, hot cocoa. Turns out that he made it out of holy water, so he's testing them to make sure that they're not vampires. Because he had gotten the
that was Colin.
He had gotten the letter that Andrew Bennett had dropped off, so he knew something was going on, and he has the vial of Luther's blood.
At this point, does it explain who the vampires are or anything?
Yes. Well, part of what's going on is there has been an uneasy truce between humans and vampires because of the Queen of the Vampires. Well, someone just took her out. So now there's a pending war between humans and vampires. And he's like, it makes perfect sense that they'd try to take out the metahumans first. because, you know, they're their biggest threat to the vampires. So, and as we learned in issue one, Green Lantern has been corrupted and is a vampire. And at one point he's talking to somebody, you don't know who his boss is. But at the end, he basically takes out the Flash. He goes to meet with the Flash and talks to him, and then basically kills him. He's like, I'm sorry, Wally, there's no way we can let you live just because, or Barry, we can't let you live because your power would, you'd drain the earth in a day. You know, you'd have to drink so much blood, so he kills him. He says, I had hoped to rule the world with you. Sorry, snaps his neck. So that's how issue two ended. Great art, Otto Schmidt, fantastic art. Tinian's writing this, really, really good. The one Wonder Trim twin is looking for her brother. That was kind of sad.
Because he didn't make it out of issue one, right?
Correct. Yeah. He got blendered and drunk.
Zan.
Yeah. Detective 1045. Now, I fully admit, I did not read any of the other issues prior to this, but I knew this was the last one before the annual, which kicks off the new story. Yeah, I was lost. So it's, there's something about these bugs, and he saves Mayor Nakano, and now they're kind of on better terms because of this, because he saved him. But I just don't quite see how this ends starting a new new run, so I'm confused. Not that it was bad, I'm just confused. Leave me alone, man. Amazing Spider-Man 79 just kind of continues things, except Kraven the Hunter shows up, and Spider-Man is lured to the home of the head of Beyond, but it was all a trap, because once Kraven the Hunter learned that he worked for Beyond, he figured that would be, he attacked him, and then had it all booby-trapped, and it's not looking good for Peter.
If you're going to refer something as to being a trap, you have to say it in
that. It's a trap. Okay.
It's a trap.
So. Task Force Z number 2. Better. They make it out of the Mr. Freeze thing. It looks like Mr. Bloom kills Mr. Freeze. Then they get back and everybody gets healed up, and then they go on another mission to get their new teammate, and they take on, I don't know, I don't remember who it was, like Hydra, but it's not Hydra, but some other group, and it turns out an innocuous member of the team, who I don't think was properly introduced because I had no idea who she was or where she came from, turns into this monster, but then they find the one that they're going to recruit, and it's Deadshot, who as, Red Hood is calling back to home base, shoots him in the back. So, and then the last one is Hawkeye number 1, which is just a little miniseries. It's just designed to be cute to go along with the TV show. She's doing a little mystery. She runs into her sister. Her sister invites her to this thing. She's like, oh, I don't have anything better to do. I'll go. Finds out it's her sister, who she's estranged from. But something weird is going on at this resort, so she has to investigate what it is. So, not bad, but just had that one part where it was a two-page spread where you couldn't tell which way you were supposed to read, which I despise. Don't do that. Make
Didn't
it easy.
Did you read one other one?
Which one?
You know which one.
Give me a... I don't
the special
know.
One.
Your favorite is
Green
book.
Arrow?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that was at the top of the list. You told me to skip it, and I forgot. I got to the bottom of my list.
If you had to save best for last.
Well, I didn't do that.
Come on.
So it's Aquaman Green Arrow Deep Target number 2. In this one, they're on an airplane flying somewhere, and both still look like each other, and I still never thought Green Arrow looked identical to Aquaman. And it's like they have each other's memories, kind of, and I don't. And then they're on a plane, and then they get attacked on the plane.
Why are they on the plane?
I don't know. They're flying somewhere. I don't remember. And then...
they're going on vacation.
They're on the plane, then they're...
Are they going to Aruba? Where
no, no, but they end up crash landing, and you'll never guess where they land.
Jeffrey Epstein's island?
No, on the island where Green Arrow became Green Arrow. And then at the Leon same time, you. They land on the island... The dinosaur...
I like my story better.
The dinosaur general from the first one lands there and then starts fighting him.
It was... I'm reading this just going...
You... How many
Colin, it's, it's bad. Many, it's seven.
Yes.
You're wow. not supposed to drop that much acid before you read comic books.
It like, was not good.
I feel like Aquaman would only fly domestically.
No, it's a private jet. Like private jet. Oh, it's all private jet.
You sure Epstein wasn't boat? Around anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. It was... It was not good. Tim, did you read Aquaman, Green Arrow, Deep Target 2?
I did.
And what'd you think?
It sucked just as bad.
Thank you. Thank
Whoa!
You.
Tim says it sucked. It has to be bad.
Yeah, that was not good. Wow. So, that's all I got. And I forgot to print the invoices, so I don't know what's
coming out. So we don't know what's coming out next week, Colin.
But it doesn't matter, because Marvel, I won't be able to sell anyway.
Maybe. I mean, we missed out on a rant.
Oh, did I not rant?
No.
No, I didn't rant. Yeah,
so
it was
you ranted
just,
to us, but not...
Oh, that. Just... Marvel's new distributor, Penguin Random House, has a weird thing where they don't invoice books until the month that they go on sale. Because we have monthly terms. We pay for all an entire month at once. Instead of like Diamond and Lunar, you pay weekly... Penguin, you pay a month at a time. And so this gives us the month before we have to pay for these. The problem is, so that meant they weren't going to get us the invoice, which we use to check in shipments, until this morning. Well, turns out whoever was supposed to push the button forgot to push the button, took the day off, and nobody knew to push the button and send out our invoices. So I finally got the invoice at 6:15. Which means I couldn't sell Marvel Comics all day.
So they just have one person.
I don't know. This is all made up. I have no idea.
But there's not another person who could have sent out the invoices?
I don't know why it wasn't sent. But it was not sent out until 6:15. And not even sent out. Posted to their site. So I wasn't able to check in the Marvel books until 6:15. And by not having them checked in means I can't scan them to sell them. So I wasn't able to sell Marvel Comics at all today, which is fun explaining that to every customer that comes in, getting happier as the day goes on.
So there's really a chance of this happening every time.
Every week. Wednesday comes. This could happen every week.
Every week.
Yes, because if they don't push that button to send that invoice. The next time it's supposed to happen is in June. My biggest frustration is... One of the guys in charge of dealing with Penguin for retailers pointed this out to them 5 weeks ago, that this was going to be a problem. And they're like, no problem. No, we got it. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. No problem. Today comes.
So why is it going to happen again in June?
Because that June 1st is a Wednesday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have no confidence that we'll have an invoice every week now. Because this seems totally beyond them and too complicated for them to get it, be able to have an invoice for us at 9 in the morning. So I made a point of being here at 9 in the morning to do this, and then nothing. So I don't have any faith in Penguin Random House right now, or Marvel Comics in general. So, yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
So, yeah, I forgot to print the invoices, so... That's all I got. One good news is Festivus begins on the 13th, so keep an eye out for all the fun of Festivus.
That's 13 days?
Yes, 12 days. 12 days of Festivus. So,
of course, Colin has the airing of the grievances every week.
Well, yes, every week. So hopefully next
week... Still haven't had feats of strength, though.
Hopefully the rest of the week goes smoother than this week has. Or so far. And let's see. It's, website's Pittsburgh Comics. Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics.
Do you have a special for the month?
Yeah, we're doing Grant Morrison. Pat picked that one. So okay. All Grant Morrison graphic novels are double points.
That way you can get mind screwed right at Christmas.
Time. Right, exactly. You know, you need something to read on that time off. And we all need to drop
Claws.
The... Yeah, Claws is on there. See, it's a perfect choice.
I picked up 18 Days.
Okay.
Which I don't know anything about, but the art looks really awesome. But it's one of those books that you have to like lay flat on the table.
Guy,
no.
It's really fun to read.
Pretty good. Okay. And I think it's only 4 issues.
Let's go. So, but that's all we got. So, Pat.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.